Okay.
Well, I'm going to get this party started. It is 5:31. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Bart, would you do the roll call, please?
Yes. Nathaniel. Absent. Mike Williams.
Here.
Doug.
Here.
CB.
Here.
Michael J. Williams has an excused absence. Sarah.
Here.
Peter.
Here.
And Kyle.
Here.
So we have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you. I've had a request to amend the agenda. Are there any objections to moving the Anchor Rides update, which is item B2, to just before A1? So basically we hear about Anchor Rides first thing. Any objection?
No objection.
No.
No objection. Okay. Are there any additional amendments to the agenda? Okay. Any objection to accepting the agenda as approved? I mean, as amended. Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Are there any objections to approving the minutes of October 10th, 2024? Hearing none, the minutes of the October 10th, 2024 meeting are approved. I will read the public involvement announcement. Audience participation at this meeting is limited to the public comments section of the agenda. However, the chair may open any agenda item for public comment. Written comments will be addressed first, then verbal comments on a first recognized basis by the board chair. Each commenter should state their name so it can be recorded in the minutes. Commenters will have 2 minutes to speak on each agenda item they wish to comment on. With that, we will move to the new business item, which is the Anchor Rides update.
Great. So April White is here.
Yeah. So I'm April White, and I oversee Anchor Rides. Just here to give you a quick update. So we're working on a system, software system, map upgrade for the system to help performance. We're hoping to improve that. We're also working on some training for staff to better help with IT software that we use. We are also auditing clients because of the amount of notifications on postcards we got back. So. We're going through making sure that they're still active in the system and making contact for those that are. We won't be doing suspensions this quarter, but at the beginning of the year, we should start that, doing suspensions by then. We moved to a new location temporarily. It's 3625 Dr. Martin Luther King Avenue. This is where we do assessments too. It's convenient for our passengers because they come and get tickets there anyways. We're still hiring for the eligibility administrator. So hopefully we'll get that filled by Christmas. And yeah, pretty much that's it.
All right. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for April? Okay.
I think it was Michael J. that wasn't real familiar with Anchor Rides that wanted more detail. But so the suspensions, you're talking about people who are no longer eligible for Anchor Rides. Is that what you're talking about?
No, the suspensions for violations.
For violations.
Late cancellations.
Oh,
yeah.
I got it.
That covers about 15%. So if they have a no-show late cancellation of 15% over the course of 3 months, then they can end up with a warning up to 30-day suspension.
And so that might also help with on-time performance as
right.
well?
Okay. Yes. And not wasting resources where someone else can be booked for that ride.
What is considered a late cancellation? What's the window?
Less than 2 hours.
Okay.
Can you talk a little bit about your travel trainer program?
Yes, I can. In fact, I have my travel trainer.
Excellent.
That would love to elaborate on that. Sandra McMahon, she's our travel trainer for the Public Transportation Department.
I work for April, and I help with the Anchor Rides eligibility, but I also do, within the community, out riding buses or looking for people who need help knowing how to ride people mover. I'm also available to corporations, to schools, to individuals, to groups. I'm hoping to be working with Drug Court to help their applicants in the process to be able to maneuver within the maneuver system. I go into the senior centers and work with the seniors who both want to qualify for anchor rides, but also want to become more proficient with people mover. So just about tailoring what somebody wants to learn about people mover and how to navigate it. I'm also working with the immigrant community. I'm finding it quite challenging. The community that's illiterate has a very difficult time when we're an app-based people mover system. So that's a bit challenging, but it's very rewarding to be able to help folks navigate the communities. As you all know, public transportation is vital to be able to get people to all of their needs, but especially medical appointments. So that's one of our first trips in the immigrant communities, being able to help them navigate to a hospital and to the doctor's appointments. With the senior citizens, who go downtown so that they can get their discount, be able to ride people more for discount days. That's in a nutshell some of what I'm doing as travel trainer. Any questions?
How would corporations that want to try and get some help from you or the public transit department in contact with you?
All roads lead to me. You can find me through People Mover, you can find me through Anchor Rides. I have a business card with a QR code. I'm constantly out there letting people know. Just fill out a form, let me know whether you're referring someone to me or whether you want to talk about what I can do with you. I'm very excited to be working with Alaskans for Safety, I think it is. They have a reflective program. So I'm going to be out riding in the dark hours, letting people know we have reflective tape, and helping people be more visible, and working with Whitney and media to get the word out, to be more mindful of it. But just, I digress. And you can find me through travel training anywhere. I'm constantly looking for people who want to learn more about the mover.
Thank you.
Next question. I can't believe you don't have a whole fleet of travel trainers, but I kept seeing the job posting. Mm-hmm. This is a really exciting job, and I've enjoyed it since the moment they brought me on. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any additional questions or anchor rides updates? All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, April.
Thank you. So next up, we have the 2025 PTAB meeting location. So this is one where I do want to open it up to the public because we want to hear from you. Our options for meeting in 2025 are this room that we're sitting in, or City Hall Room 155. So just to give a little bit of information, the reason we landed on this space is because when we voted to go back to in person, City Hall Room 155 was basically behind a locked door because they close City Hall at 5. So security would have to come unlock the door and escort us in. So we had the option of room 155, which is where the assembly holds like their work sessions, for example. It's the assembly meeting room. The other option was on the 8th floor, which is in City Hall behind their locked building, and then security has to escort you up the elevator, which is also locked, even to non-City Hall employees, but who are still employees of the municipality. So that one, where we used to meet pre-pandemic, was even more difficult to get to. So we ended up at other public spaces, and Blue Sec Library was centrally located, so we have landed in the Moose Room. So for 2025, we could be in the Moose Room again, same time, same place, or we could go back to City Hall, which has many more bus routes that stop there. The caveat for City Hall is that if the assembly needs that meeting room during the time that PTAB meets, the assembly gets dibs, even if they have determined that they need that meeting room 5 minutes before our meeting. Mm-hmm. So there are other rooms and we could figure it out, but it could be difficult. When I kind of checked in with the folks at City Hall to see, well, how often does that happen that they have a meeting at 5:30 on a Thursday night? Mm-hmm. It's rare, but it's not never. So that's something that we're up against, just so we've got the information out there. Is there any member of the public who would like to make a comment on meeting location?
I think that it would
be nice. And if you could state your name.
Oh, I'm Jay. And I think that'd be nice because I live downtown. It kind of made it difficult to come over here tonight. I wanted to come. I never been to these meetings. But it's kind of slick, you know, cold and nasty. It'd be kind of nice if it was downtown. Maybe kind of more convenient because the bus goes like right there. So that's my feeling.
That room is slightly bigger than this one, by recollection.
I think the table is a little bigger. Okay. But the audience does sit kind of off to the side and kind of a little further away.
Mm-hmm. Did we get any written comment on that one, Bart?
No.
I forgot to check first. Okay. Are there any other members here who would like to comment on meeting location?
I live downtown, and I don't think it matters. To be honest, I like the library, but I think you could probably put another two rows of seats in here because I don't know why there's only two rows. Hopefully, we want more people than this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I will entertain a motion. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. Did you have a question, or I'm sorry, a comment on meeting location?
I'm glad to come to it. I've been waiting the bus for many, many years. When I first came to Alaska, no bus.
And is this about where we're meeting?
What?
Is this a comment on where we're meeting? On our meeting location?
No.
Oh, okay. So this part is just, we're just talking about our meeting location right now. We're taking public comment where we're going to actually meet. Okay. There's general public comment at the end of the agenda.
Okay, sure. Okay, let me
see. Okay. All right. Any additional comment from the public about our meeting location? Absolutely.
Name. But I'm used to hearing me, but I can't hear anything what you said.
Oh.
Anyhow,
okay.
I want to say, because I still want to number 25 to go on to the base. That's what I'm hoping.
Oh, okay. So can you save that for the end? Right now we're talking on where we meet for this meeting.
Anyhow, yeah, that's what I want to say because
okay.
I can't hear anything
or
I'll go home.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So is it between here and downtown like it was talked about last week?
Correct.
Yeah. I took the bus actually to get here today, and it's not easy for me. And then to get a bus home, and they have to walk all the way in the room, the lights are in. So downtown up near, I guess, City Hall, where the bus transit bus is a bit easier.
Okay, and I'm sorry, what was your name? I missed
you. Melody
Russo. Thank you. Are there any additional comments from members of the public? Seeing and hearing none, I will entertain a motion on action item meeting location. Wasn't a resolution.
I will propose an action to move the 2025 meeting location to the assembly meeting hall on the first floor at City Hall.
Is there a second?
A second.
Second from Mike Williams. I'm sorry, moved by Kyle Mielke. Mm-hmm. Any discussion?
Well, I've said it before, it's way easier for me to make it on time, downtown, but I can get here.
Okay.
That's CB.
CB, it is easy for CB to be downtown.
I'm sorry?
I'm repeating, it is easier for CB to be downtown.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to moving our meetings starting January 9th, 2025 to City Hall Room 155, starting starting at 5:30 p.m. Hearing no objections.
Well, so it's unanimous. Just for the minutes, I just want to.
I'm sorry.
Yes, for the minutes, it's, nobody's voting no. Or why don't we just say, are anyone voting no?
There are no objections. Is anyone voting no? They do not want to go to.
Okay.
City Hall, room 155, starting January 9th.
Thank you.
It passes. We will meet at City Hall, room 155, pending availability, starting January 9th, 2025 at 5:30. Unanimously voted.
I'm looking at the calendar now. It's available the first 3 months. So.
That's all we can ask.
Yeah.
Sarah, do we have a backup plan if we get bumped?
Potentially the
8th floor.
The escort thing?
Yes.
I was thinking more of like another day, the following Wednesday.
Oh, true.
Do we have anything sort of penciled out ever?
Not at this time. When I had the conversation, it seemed rare enough that, like, I don't know that they've never been able to put anybody somewhere else in City Hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it could be a matter of just, we whip up quick signs that says, check in with security, and they will escort you to where we need to be.
I don't see it ever happening.
But you are correct in that if we plan for it, it will never happen. If we don't plan for it, it will be a January problem. So backup plans are good. Okay, so the next item, the right-of-way analysis, an action item I think is sort of strong. It's sort of a volunteer opportunity. I got a phone call from Daniel McKenna Foster from the planning department asking if someone from PTAB would like to be the representative on the Anchorage Right-of-Way Management Strategy Project.
Yeah.
So I said, pencil me in, because sure, that sounds fun. So you have PTAB representation. That said, I don't want to hoard opportunity. So if another member of PTAB would like to be PTAB's representative, there is a meeting on Thursday, December 5th from 1 to 3 p.m. It's a virtual meeting. And they are undertaking a comprehensive study to clarify and update snow and management goals, policies, priorities, level of service standards, right-of-way design strategies, and responsibilities for MOA agencies and right-of-way partners, as well as for the private sector and general public.
Mm-hmm. I would appreciate going. I've gotten to work with Daniel on a couple other projects, and so if it's fine with anyone else, I would appreciate being the representative.
Okay. Is there anybody else who would like to be the representative?
No, I don't even understand the description, so I'd be a terrible person to go.
I'm on the committee already.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay.
So did you want to just be the representative for PTAB instead?
I think we could.
That way you can wear different hats.
Okay,
yeah.
Sounds great.
Okay, are there any objections to Kyle being the PTAB representative on the Right-of-Way Management Strategy Committee?
No, I guess I just had a question that what's the commitment beyond, is it a regular recurring monthly meeting, and are we indefinitely going to have representation, and then maybe we can talk about someone else
or making an officer chair for it that would then be decided upon. Daniel's usually pretty good about having a end to his committees and stuff. He has, I believe, like 11 ongoing committees that are all layered on top of each other, so he likes closing them out. Mm-hmm. So this is a supplement to a larger right-of-way plan that he's having in general, and he just wants a smaller work session to provide specified feedback to roll up into the general management plan.
I see. So this is more of a specific...
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the time commitment when we chatted was approximately 3 meetings over 12 to 18 months total. So time commitment is small.
Modest. Yeah.
Okay, well, I will forward you the email and I will let the parties know that you will be the PTAB representative. Thank you, Kyle.
And just for future reference, after each of those meetings, would we want a report on what was spoken about in the meeting?
That would be great.
Perfect.
Yes.
That's coming from you, Kyle.
Yep, absolutely. I love me making some reports, so no worries.
Okay, next up we've got gathering community feedback. Bart, is that you?
No.
Info item. Is it in the packet?
No.
No, okay. Bart, did you want to speak generally on the public's ways of being able to provide feedback to the public transit department?
I can have a quick discussion about it, because I do remember, like, when we were putting this packet together, Nick and I, when we were discussing what was going to go on the agenda, I was like, I would love to hear about gathering community feedback.
It may have been.
And maybe he understood that I was going to speak to it.
It may have meant to be a subheading under PTAB meeting location.
No.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
I do know that much, but so this would be a great opportunity for us to just have a brief discussion while we're all in the same room, because mm-hmm. we have to all be in the same room in an open space to have these discussions. How successful has the various ways that the public transportation department, how successful have you been in gathering community feedback, and have you gotten feedback on, it's meta, have you gotten feedback on different ways to get feedback?
Well, during our writer survey that mm-hmm. we conduct 3 times a year, we do ask a question on how people want to get information and receive information. And generally the ways that people like to get information from us is through the app or on the bus. And then how they like to give information is on the phone or via email. It's typically what we hear. So we don't get a lot of unsolicited feedback mm-hmm. unless we are in the middle of a particular engagement effort. Unless it is snow removal. In which we do get lots of unsolicited feedback. And then occasionally on social media we'll get a few things here and there. Mm-hmm. But when we are looking for feedback, and it's a targeted effort such as an update to our planning work or, you know, shelters or things like that, we do get a lot of engagement because we put a lot of work into getting that engagement. Specifically, Maria, who's here tonight, goes out into the public and has multiple meetings. For instance, like the service change.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I think although the service change was unfortunate that we had to cut service, I think the positive was that the public did know it was coming and they understood why. And I think that's a testament to the work that they've done to do that. So I think we do a good job of soliciting feedback when we are in an effort, but when we're not in an effort, we don't get a lot of feedback.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But the methods are the same. So they can call the number that's on the side of the bus. We have an email on the website that goes through AncWorks. We have a texting number that's posted on the bus. See it, text it. You can text about anything there, things that are happening right now, or just general comments. And you can come to this meeting are probably the main methods.
Okay. What do you do with the feedback that you get? Particularly unsolicited, but
yes.
Holistically.
So this is currently a larger discussion in our department right now, but because we're making it so we have a single point of contact, which will be our customer service manager, and then she will funnel those comments to the appropriate people. And what we don't do a great job of right now is following up on those comments. Like whoever submits the comments, we don't say, hey, great comment, we actually did this, mm-hmm. or no, we're not going to do this because X, Y, Z. So right now, we get the comment, we farm it out, it gets taken care of, we kind of know about it, and then that's it. So what we're working on now is that feedback loop, and our customer service manager will be in charge of that here shortly.
Does the customer service manager, like, is that a currently filled position, or
it's
going to be soon? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions or comments about gathering community feedback?
Yeah, so you spoke about snow. Is contacting the transportation department directly for snow-related issues the best route, or would you prefer that it be routed to some other municipal department?
If it's a bus stop,
mm-hmm.
us.
Okay, perfect.
And as part of my director's update, I was going to show you the new website that the community has, and we have a specific button on there now for bus stops, and
nice.
I prefer all comments to go through there about bus stops.
That's pretty cool stuff.
So that we can log it and send it to the appropriate entity.
Nice. Perfect.
Okay.
What about the hearts to the Instagram account? You count those up?
Feedback.
Any feedback for those?
We count those as engagement. Okay.
Yes. I'm seeing a lot of those.
Okay. Yes, we actually do.
Nathaniel, who I forgot to say into the recording, arrived at approximately 5:34. Yes. So for the record, he's here. Reminded me that in this conversation, community feedback was evaluate the effectiveness of our current methods for gathering community feedback and explore potential improvements. Mm. That's where that came from. I don't know that we can evaluate it in this meeting. That's a heavy lift.
I think a good thing to do would be to come back in a month or two after we have our internal discussion and present to you how we're going to be handling feedback in the future holistically.
And is there a role that PTAB has to play in that? Because I think our job, one of our main jobs is to assist with gathering feedback, and making our advice on that, or making sure that you get that feedback from others if we are the conduit. So if there's a role we have to play, that you guys can think of, that would be great.
Maybe a question to the rest of the members. I know that some of y'all have your contact information available on our public on the PTAB site. Does anyone receive direct feedback from constituents, or has that been mostly quiet?
Well, I got some from you before you were on the board.
Right.
Occasionally, I guess.
I also get some occasionally.
Okay. And so is that something that the public transit department, or as the department, would they like to see more of? Or would you like, after the plan, to mostly have it directed to the department?
No, it doesn't matter. I feel whatever the public feels comfortable in doing, or whatever they feel is going to be most effective is fine with us.
Okay, perfect.
We could all wear badges on the bus.
Official PTAB
member. PTAB member,
Would that be against any sort of rules? I'm perfectly open to that. The other thing I wanted to ask is, has there been any flurry of feedback after the service change as far as feedback after the service change has been implemented?
No.
Okay, perfect. No. Love to hear it.
We've gotten a couple of comments here and there, mainly about the times change. And then, a few people, still posting comments about upset about the 25, but other than that, no.
Yeah, I guess on this topic, we've heard from the lady who left at the last three meetings, and it's been frustrating to hear her continue to come back but not have any clear way to kind of follow up. What can we do? We're a conduit for her to speak, but then is it something when we get public input here at this meeting, should we take some kind of initiative, right? Should we then kind of absorb that and follow through on we want, we've heard from this constituent now three meetings in a row. She wants us to figure out how to get the bus onto base.
Would there be any room for us trying to add a standing, maybe not an action item, but like a informational item to the agenda? So that if someone says, like for instance, she's coming every time, she knows that her comments are being heard. If it's in the agenda, we even if we don't have any updates, like a dedicated place in the agenda being like, hey, we have escalated this to the point of like us as a board wants this to be something that we are recognizing as an issue that we're trying to follow up on. So that if they, for instance, don't want to come, but they can see it on the agenda, that it's being acknowledged. So
I would say, if somebody could draft a resolution, then we could say, we as PTAB would like you to do your best to do this.
Oh, but that's true.
There's no reason we can't do that. But so then, but as far as the base, that's
right.
We can't even get our workers. This is one of the biggest, toughest things that we have for doing, getting our clients on transportation, is trying to get them on base.
Is the struggle actually getting on base or getting the bus from the base to the bus stop
It's getting on base. We're not allowed on base.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
This, we're going to take an act of Congress or something.
Yeah, so it sounds like a resolution is probably the thing to go.
Yeah, pretty much. An act of Congress at this point to get the bus on base.
Right.
That can't be that hard. I like the resolution idea. I don't want feedback that happens here, to be like, check a box.
How can we goes anywhere.
Move right. that forward?
We can do the best we can do. That's all.
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe it's a matter of connecting to base public transportation.
And forwarding the resolution.
Better, right? Finding a way to, if we can't bring People Mover on, then what transportation is provided on base for military?
Right.
That we could. We could synchronize and access, right, and allow the public to get on.
It has to be very, very specific.
Yeah.
Right, but if someone's going, I mean, in her case, right, she's a beneficiary of a veteran. She has benefits that she can only receive on base, so she has reason to be on base and has the appropriate, authorization to do that. It's a matter of connecting public transportation on our side with whatever it is on their side.
I would suggest that someone on this board even just make a phone call, do like some investigation. Can we call someone on base to say, hey, look, here's the dilemma. What are our options? If the options are there are no options, we write a resolution accordingly. If the options are here are our options, we write a resolution accordingly. So it's still, we're not doing nothing, but we're writing an informed resolution, essentially. Is there anybody who wants to work on that? Who has base contacts?
We would contact.
Well, no volunteers, I'll go for it.
Okay.
I actually have some people I can reach out to.
Perfect.
Oh, cool, okay.
Nathaniel.
Yeah, so Nathaniel and Kyle.
I have someone too that I might. I'll do some investigation as well, but and pass on info in case I figure something out.
Cool.
Okay. Excellent.
I'll ask around and see if there's somebody, if I know of anybody.
Yeah, since they have a PIO too, so
I can't guarantee it.
Okay. I will compile that information. Whatever you find, send it to me.
Okay.
Do we have any additional questions or comments on gathering community feedback? And we can add it to next month's agenda to kind of check in to see what we've done, along with a probable resolution.
Adding it to next agenda?
Yes.
We can just say, add this item. I'll take lead on that.
Okay, cool.
Present whatever we got.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you. Moving on to winter operations. Is that the same boat? Or do you have updates on winter operations?
I can give an update. Great. I think this was somebody just asked for like a standing item, I think, on things that
yes.
are going on. But, so I was just going to show everyone, if you didn't know, the mayor's new snow removal website, the one-stop shop on how to get snow removal information for streets and sidewalks. So this is the Muni's webpage. And you can just click on that first link, and it's got everything that you would want to know about snow plowing. This used to be on about 5 or 6 different websites. Now it's on one website. You can see where these plows have been, when your neighborhood might be plowed. It's mainly geared towards roads. There are some sidewalk things. There is right here, request a bus stop snow clearing. So if your bus stop needs to be cleared or hasn't been cleared yet, you can fill out this form and we will prioritize it. So it's options. So is there a snow berm? Is the shelter or bench covered? Is there not enough space next to the bus stop for people to wait, or is it a sidewalk? So that way we know what the actual issue is, because we all know how complicated snow removal is and who does what. Mm-hmm. If we can break this down and get as detailed as possible, then we can send out the right crew. So if it's a sidewalk, we'll immediately send it out to either the state or the Muni. If it's one of these, if it's a shelter or bench, or if there's just not enough space to stand, that's our crew. If it's a snow berm, that will be a special situation that we're going to have to coordinate with either the state or the muni, and those take a little bit longer to clear. But the good news about this is, one, it goes directly to our capital projects manager who manages our site enhancement crew, but it also allows us to start collecting data on where the problems are, because in the past it's always been, oh, the state always leaves berms. Well, where do they leave berms? Or, you know, like, or how often does it take to clear them? Now we can show that we've got this request in, we sent it to the state on this day, it took six more days for them to respond. So all of this gets fed magically into an Excel document where it tabulates and keeps all that for us to review. So again, all the work of Nick that he does.
This is so great.
Yeah, and then back to the website, there is other information, you know, if you have a berm in your own property, or if you want to call street maintenance, or if you just want to know who maintains what road and what sidewalk, there's a link for that. And then pretty soon, which is going to be pretty neat, the snow plows will have GPS trackers on them, so you'll actually be able to see where the snow plows are. Not quite in real time, but in close to real time. And there'll be a map for that, so you'll be able to, you know, the idea there is you see snow plows, you'll be, okay, let me get my car off the street, let me make room.
All right.
Give you some more information there.
They're finally catching up to the transit department.
Yes.
When's that expected? Is that this season or next?
Yeah, fairly soon. I would say within the next month.
Oh, wow.
You'll probably see that. So that is on the muni-wide effort. On our effort, we did post the two new positions for our site enhancement crew. They're going through interviews now, so hopefully we'll get those additional people. We got lots of applications, so
sweet.
I don't think we'll have a problem filling those positions. It's just getting them on board and trained, and then they can start going out to the bus stops. And we also are starting to track which bus stops have been cleared of snow, and are testing that now, so hopefully that will be on the website as well, so you'll see when the bus stop was last cleared. Same with trash, when was the trash last removed.
Cool.
Trying to be a little bit more transparent, and also to help set expectations of what six people can actually do over 700 bus stops.
Right.
This will help us identify where the priorities are by using this. So we encourage anyone who has a bus stop issue to use this little link here on this website.
Very cool.
Does that sidewalk plowing status map only include muni roads, or does it include state roads?
Great question. Let's Parks and Rec, Anchorage downtown. Yep, DOT maintained.
Excellent.
Yes. I think they're working on adding a legend as well as what. Mm-hmm. Because it's thick blue line is plowed, thin blue line is unplowed.
How are they?
So.
Is that intentionally tricky?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
where do we give that feedback?
It's plowed.
Yeah, it looks, it's actually a dotted line is unplowed. So, okay, so solid. So this means that they're plowed.
Yeah, where do we put in the request to have Nick work on this thing?
Yeah.
You can do it in two different colors. For
yeah, right. That would be
picky.
That would be that would be the simplest solution.
Yeah.
Mark, what are the
to see who you can call
requirements of what is shoveling a bus stop? What's that mean? Clearing a bus stop.
It usually means the five. If there's a 5x8 concrete pad,
okay.
Clearing that of snow.
Okay.
If there's a shelter, it means getting in and around the amenities and trying to shovel that out as well.
Okay, so just practically speaking, 9 feet cleared on a 40-foot bus?
Depending on the stop, yeah. So if it's a larger stop that has a larger than 5'8" pad, we'll clear the whole pad. So
the length of the bus? Or?
Yeah, typically is the length of the bus.
Okay, so it depends on size. Okay.
Yeah, it depends on what is there.
When they get pushed farther down the road because the snowbank and all this stuff, I know how. I'm just curious what our requirement is.
Yeah.
I think when there's a when there's a plowed sidewalk, they make an extra effort to make sure that it's connected. Like there, yeah. In the past, there have been occasional like,
right.
Bump in between. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. The MLA awesome. Crews are really good at doing that. When they take their little trackless sidewalk plow, when they come to a bus stop, they just turn, go out to the street, come back, and then there's a little path through it. This, we're working with the state to try to get them to do that more often. I think they're a little hit and miss right now. But yeah, so most bus stops just get that. Okay. It's the larger, because we primarily focus on the top 50 used bus stops, and that'll take us a few days to get through.
Okay. And why did we stop adopt a bus stop?
We stopped because risk management mm-hmm. did not like it, because this didn't happen, but in the event somebody would find a needle at a bus stop, they didn't like the liability of having somebody else think that they had to maintain that and pick it up without the proper training or materials to do so.
Or sign a waiver.
Yeah, so they asked us to eliminate it altogether.
There's entities that want to maintain bus stops and do.
Agreed, yeah.
And I think it's something we could put back to the community to help alleviate six guys trying to do it all.
Yeah. Yes, Maria yeah. is going to open that door again. Maria is back there with the hat on. is going to open that door again with risk, specifically about winter maintenance. Summer maintenance is more of a problem. It's like, yeah, can we get somebody who just wants to go and shovel, you know, and you know, give them some tools or you know, help them? But she's going to reopen that conversation. So.
And quite honestly, if we put it into the community and they'll sign them something that says, hey, I'm willing to get hepatitis, whatever. But you, if we throw it to legal, it won't ever get done.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So that's my input on adopt a bus stop. I think it should come yeah. back.
I think it was one of those things where somewhere down the line somebody asked the question mm-hmm. and we got the answer. Instead of just
I suggested the DVR adopt the bus stops out front, and it was like, no! Yeah. We can't do that, you know. And I was like, oh man,
sorry,
seriously?
Yeah, that's a good point, but yeah, we are working on it. We'll report back.
Yeah, I mean, we did talk about this last year, mm-hmm. this same topic of how do we navigate back to that conversation and not every scenario that could go wrong, but if there are people in the public, organizations in the public who want to support that, then we should have a way to do that efficiently, right? And do that easily for an organization or members of the public who would agree to adopt a bus stop.
I would say this is a good example of a resolution that the board mm-hmm. could pass and to help us with our efforts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or there being room for us to act as like someone who, as a board that's somewhat separate from the municipality, to accept nominations for us to be able to recognize organizations who are doing that work, even if there's not an official program.
Yeah, and I would want to include in that resolution support for whatever staff levels
mm-hmm.
That yeah. need to maintain a volunteer program, because that is also, that's some work. Just coordinating that piece with
maintenance resolutions.
Yep. That's I love it. Okay. How many bus stops are there?
Just shy of 700.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you don't clean your bus stop, you get shamed on the website.
Yeah.
Maybe gentle reminder first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but this this really gets back to, I mean, six people.
Right.
Maintaining the, I mean, it's absurd. Six people maintaining 700 stops all winter long. It's absurd, right? Like that part of it is fundamentally.
I mean, it's only half as absurd as when they had three.
Right. Yeah, it's like, right. Yeah. I mean,
incremental progress, but still
it's
understaffed.
Yeah. It still is just incredibly understaffed. And so, I mean, I think maybe that's part of the, if we want to do the resolution, is that's part of the broader issue of, fundamentally, it needs to be staffed appropriately, and maybe with some of this data that you're going to get, you'll have a better sense of is it 12 people, is it 14, is it 20, just so that we can be a little more specific with some of the data that might be collected as a result of this new
setup to do that. I mean, it seems silly to wait, but at the end of the day, we're not going to get more than the ones we just got this year.
Yeah.
Right. So,
two questions. About how long does it take to clear a bus stop? And second question, is all that fabulous data that you're collecting going to be available in a nifty dashboard?
Not yet.
Thank you, Nick.
I think we need to see how we're getting it and how it's going first, and then we'll talk about dashboards. But I don't even have a good answer for how long it takes, because it really depends on the size of the bus stop and is there snow that's been walked on and, you know, burned up. And I would say typically in a week right now, they're averaging about 80 bus stops between the four of them. We don't have the other two. And it's the data that we're seeing right now.
Okay. And it's just one person who does a bus stop, or do they go in a pair or all
four? They go in pairs.
Okay.
But they also are, you know, emptying trash and responding to collisions with shelters and things like that. So it's not their only job. But yeah.
It's not their only job.
Yeah.
Employee of the month.
Yeah. Always.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Do we have any additional feedback on winter operations before we move on to director and operations updates? Hearing none. Okay. We'll go to the directors and operations updates.
Okay. Well, I was going to talk about the snowplow thing. The other big news, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, probably not, but we are planning to move back into the transit center. Did I mention that last month?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They're holding you to it.
CB tried to extract an actual promise.
Okay, yes. So I can say with confidence that we'll be back in the transit center, and the opening gate is set for 12/3. It's
Whoa,
the
wow.
Like 2 weeks from now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ribbon cutting?
Don't jinx it.
Yeah,
easy.
We're still a lot of moving pieces to get done, but the plan is, so customer service, the temporary customer service, and we're going to start putting out this information on Wednesday. Customer service will be closed on 11/27 through 12/2. 11/27 will be a packing day. The 28th and the 29th are holidays for us. So we'd be closed anyway, and then there's a weekend in there which they would be closed, and then that following Monday will be an unpacking day, and then reopen on the 3rd, which is a Tuesday. Been partnering with ACDA on getting all of the things in place for that to happen. Remember that we are a tenant there, so we don't own anything, but the main point of discussion and the last thing that we're working out now is security. So the plan will be to have two indoor security guards at all times. We're going to start with the lobby open the exact same hours of our operations from 6 a.m. to midnight, and we'll see how that goes. And then in addition to the two security guards inside, there will be two security guards roaming the outside that won't be dedicated to our block, but it'll be dedicated to the surrounding three blocks around there. They're mostly at our block, same as what's there now. There will be indoor restrooms that the code will change every day, and they'll have to get it from the security guard, but at least there'll be an option there. So the porta potty that's currently there will go away. Yes, our entire customer service team will be relocated there, just as they were before.
Wow.
One other main difference is it will be half of the lobby area, so there'll be a temporary wall installed, and it'll be a little bit smaller than what it was during COVID times, and it'll block the door onto 6th Avenue, so the only way in and out will be the two doors on H Street. So it'll just be on the side. There will be no door actually onto 6th Avenue. Which is what the plan was when we were going to go back in there as our permanent home after the whole thing had been redone, you know, and built into a hotel, is our space was going to be on H side, exiting to there. So that's the plan. I feel pretty confident that we'll be there. And then the other news, I guess I should have done this as the winter maintenance update, but been working with the Downtown Partnership who clears streets down there. The current issue is that there's no place to put snow after they clear the sidewalk, so they push it into the street, and then street maintenance will come and pick it up at the end of the night. But that's costly, and so they did it like four times last time, and so they only want to do it twice in the future, so we have to plan. But what happens is they push all the street from the transit center into where the buses load, and it creates like an ice berm, and so the buses pull up to the curb, and then they slide back into the lane of traffic. So
yep.
We're working with them, and so the next snowfall, they're gonna not push any snow onto 6th Avenue. Instead, they're gonna push it to G Street, which will impact one stop for our route to Eagle River. But it's a lot easier to take up half a lane on G Street than it is to take a half a lane on 6th Avenue.
Yeah,
sure. So I'm glad that they're working with us, and we'll see how that goes as well. But just a development in snow. And then the other thing we have is we're now starting work on our May service change. So the plan is to always do two service changes a year, a winter and a summer. So the next one we're getting ready for is the summertime service change, which is in May, and we start with looking at run times on how we performed last summer, which was not great. I think our performance was in like the 70%. But the idea is that we keep fine-tuning that, so we have lots of room. There will be no alignment or new routes changes probably in all of 2025, but specifically in May. We'll just be doing run times. Mainly because we have a quick turnaround. We just did the service cut. We don't have any more drivers, you know, to add back service yet. And we have a new scheduler. So this will be a good first task for her to work on. But so that's mainly my updates.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I thought Mr. Stone is scheduler.
He was, but he was promoted. Now he's our senior planner.
Oh, right. Okay. 50.
So his big task in 2025 will be to update Transit on the Move plan,
right?
Which will be a big undertaking, and you guys will be heavily involved there. And that will also be a place where we can talk about better base access. But that'll be like future route changes, mm-hmm. next priorities, because we did a pretty good job with the last one. We've implemented probably five of the top 10 ideas. So it's time to relook at that and see what's next.
And Mr. Robbins is still the head of, is that a term of years or is it just?
It's a mayoral appointment.
But it's not like a 3-year appointment or, okay.
No.
I got it.
No, it's just like any department director.
How is it going getting new drivers, additional drivers, more drivers?
Not great.
No.
with the same methods that we've been using. I think last report was we were 13 vacancies. Although with the service change, it's not impacting service, which is the good news. And then our operations department is still working on getting an in-house trainer for that passenger endorsement. Mm-hmm. So he's setting that up now, so hopefully that will be in place relatively soon in the next 6 months or so, where they feel, our operations department feels that there are a lot of CDL drivers in town that would come work for us, but they cannot get the passenger endorsement because it's costly and there's a wait list.
Yep.
So if we could provide that in-house training, that'll be the first step. And then we'll see what the success is for that before we open the doors to a larger CDL training class.
Okay.
Test this out, work with HR, make sure that we can hire somebody without the proper licenses with the expectations that they'll get it through our training program. It'll be a good first step. So that's still underway.
No,
go ahead.
One of our prior meetings we had talked about partnering up with ASD because they had similar struggles.
Yep.
Is that something that the Muni is working on, or has that already been kind of explored and not?
No, it's just on hold. So ASD was agreeable to that. They said that we could put some drivers through their program and they would allow it. It would just have to line up with their time frame. We're just not going to go down that road yet.
You're going to try this
first, yeah. Because that would also, that method would take a whole HR change to hire somebody without even a license. So yeah, we're going to try this other method first. But then that's still available, as far as I know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a time frame for the passenger endorsement project launch experiment?
We hope to get all the information gathered in the next month or so. So probably by January, we should have an idea of at least a plan to get it started.
Okay.
Like how to get the license, who we're going to send, what person's going to be dedicated to the indoor training, how many weeks of training are they going to get, and the HR approval process. We hope to get all of that notified by January.
Okay. Cool. Are there any additional questions?
What about the budget resolution? Did that make it to the assembly or no?
I don't think we did an appearance request.
I had made an appearance request. It was denied.
Really?
Yeah, they said that they would only accept it in the public comment section. Yeah. It's a change from last year, and I got it literally the day before the meeting, and so it didn't end up happening. I apologize.
You mean like on the, you got it like on the 5th or something?
I got it the day before the meeting. I had done the appearance request on like the Monday before and didn't get the email back saying that it was denied until the day on Monday. Yeah.
Did
they get the resolution?
No, we didn't have a signed copy.
Oh. Well, we'll send that to them just
yeah,
in case.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there was an email you might have missed. I don't know. But.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I will go back through. Sorry about that.
It's all good.
And the assembly has a new email address.
Yes.
They do. I saw that today.
Oh.
It makes much more sense. It's assembly at anchorjk.gov.
Instead of WWS Anchorage something.
MA something. I'm sure it's stood for something. Don't know what.
Yeah, sure, something important.
Okay. Are there any additional questions before we move on to the data dashboard?
So I think what we decided here is we're just going to give an update or just a quick review. So we can get to it from our main site dashboard. We took a dip last month, which is fairly common.
Yeah.
So here's where we're looking at for October. We took a dip. Every year takes a dip, but we got dangerously close back to the 2023 levels, and we've been pretty good at staying ahead of 2023 and almost back to the 2019 levels. The blue line is 2019. The green line is where we are this year, and orange is last year. So we took a dip. Usually we continue our dip in November before we start to go back up, so we'll see where we are next month.
Well, we did have that snow event the last
year. Yeah, there were a couple days that the bus didn't go.
Right, that totally lines up.
Yeah, true. And then I don't know if you want to look at any productivity, but I think that's why it's here for you guys to dig into anything you want. But I think that's the most important thing to note, is just a little down.
Network comments.
Okay. Yeah. Any questions about the data dashboard?
We're working to get on-time performance on here shortly. That'll be the next thing that Nick will put on.
And are 2020 and 2019 ever going to drop off, or are we going to keep it there until we surpass 2019 levels
and
declare victory?
Yeah.
Because, man, that reminder.
Oh, yeah, where we stopped.
The COVID reminder.
Oh, yeah. Better leave it on there a while.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, until it gets, like, too confusing with too many lines, I guess. But,
yeah.
Right now, it's kind of nice where they're all spaced out. Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, it tells the COVID story.
It really does.
That to me is a worthwhile story to keep reminding people of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not back there yet.
And you can do it by year, right? Like you can eliminate, if you only want to look at 2 years.
Yeah,
okay.
Pick
okay.
Which year you want.
Wow.
That's right.
We can do
weekends. Look at that. You can do just weekends.
Oh, yeah, that's a Saturday.
I haven't dug this far.
Oh. Yeah. Saturday, and then Sunday is where we usually made the biggest game. Okay, wait. There we go.
Wow.
Look at that.
Yeah, see, we were doing really good, and now we're took a dip there too, but we were ahead of 2019 levels on
Sundays.
Does the transit department ever compare this to other things that are happening in the community, or is that out of scope? Like,
can we
evaluate it on, like, well, the population is also shrinking, or like nothing was happening that weekend? How do you do things like that?
Yeah, only when we do like a large planning effort and we look at it more on like a larger scale.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah. Okay.
Any questions? Comments? Okay, moving on to the chair report. Full confession, I don't have one. I have nothing to report. I will amend that in December and have things to report. So we will move on to continued business, which is the recommendation to amend Anchorage Municipal Code to include permitted items.
Nice title.
This is brought over from our May or June agenda. It was brought forward by a community member who's now a board member. So welcome, Kyle.
Yeah.
I wanted, I guess, to kind of give you the opportunity. What was the intent behind what you wrote up? And if you can kind of just reintroduce us to.
Sure. To reintroduce folks on the item, it's just that currently Anchorage Municipal Charter only has a list of excluded items or banned items, and this would just be a recommendation to the Assembly to potentially adopt into code to allow for select permitted items, such as, you know, certain forms of like walkers, or in the case of this, another major goal of it was to potentially allow for maybe like folding electric scooters, which currently it's kind of by ear for the driver, but to also make it so that there is in the code when it's added, not just a cart launch, this is added, but make sure that it's included that it's at the driver's discretion that if they think that such a item is potentially hazardous to the driver or to the route, that they can exclude it. So not a, you know, hey, always has to be allowed, but just a signal to the public that this is something that should be more allowed, both as, you know, direction to the public transit department, but also signals to the drivers that, like, hey, it's not a gray area, this is something that is put forward by the policy body of the of Anchorage, that this is something that we would like to see more of.
Okay. I have a question, I guess, for Bart. Is it driver discretion when something like, what was it, an electric scooter?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not in the prohibited list. I know that other transit agencies struggle with, well, it's not on the prohibited list, so it must be allowed. you know, and they've had folks like set up hammocks.
Mm-hmm.
No, though. So, like, how do drivers, how are they empowered to navigate that?
It is kind of at their discretion if it's not a prohibited item. And unfortunately, different drivers allow different things. So there's not a lot of uniformity when that happens. And it usually depends on how busy the bus is, how they are on their running time, are they behind schedule?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of varying factors that they'll decide that. So, and then if they are completely unsure, they'll call into dispatch,
mm-hmm.
And they will make a decision on the fly there, again, based on whoever is dispatching at that time. So, I mean, there's different ways that you could look at this. You could do the code, we could have just a, in our internal policies,
right.
A list of items that we would want them to allow and spell them out,
mm-hmm.
or just keep the excluded list and let it be at the discretion. I think those are your options.
On a note with that, when I sent that email as a member of the public, I had also included the assembly, and I've had three members of the assembly reach out and say that that would be something that they would support if it came from the PTAB. So.
Okay. I don't know if you did this part of the research. Are there other entities in code that have things that are allowed versus things that are prohibited?
Not broadly. I was looking specifically at the code that applied to the transit department, but there's a lot of interesting middle and gray areas, especially when it comes around to transportation. Like, there's that discussion when it came to like what is and isn't allowed in bike lanes and all that, that has been talked up at length in the last year. And so there's a lot of other things that are going on in the same field that the assembly and the current members on the assembly have been really digging deep into, hey, what should be allowed and what isn't allowed in public shared space. So it's a pretty good time for doing that, and the staff that they have there are kind of keyed in on those kinds of issues.
Where's the prohibited list? Where does that appear?
It's in code.
It's in the code, okay.
Yeah. So it would just be adding a section saying, these are definitely prohibited, these are definitely allowed, and everything else is still at discretion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there training around that discretion? Like, what is the training for drivers?
I'm not entirely sure, but okay. I would guess it's when they're first onboarded.
Right.
And then probably not until a situation arises does it come back up again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would guess.
And do we have any information on how often someone is turned away if they have a thing that is questionable?
That would just be, again, to the public feedback piece. Okay. So it would just be if the member of the public thought it was a difficult enough situation that they then make a public comment. So it's like filtering of a filtering, so.
Yeah, I guess that's my kind of question on this is, are we trying to fix a problem that maybe is pretty small in the scheme of things? Or is this a problem?
Right.
And
you're so practical.
And that's kind of where I'm struggling with, without any more information, how do we make the decision to take this on as a task versus, is there a way to collect data? Is there a way for us to, other than the public feedback, right? There's really no way for us to know how frequently this is occurring.
The only other thing you could look into is potentially some of the studies that are being taken care of in like AMATS transportation, if they are collecting any data on anything other than a bicycle. I think that they are with some of the right-of-way when it came to like the protected bike lane and the conversations around that. So there's data on like what is the total, like what is the projected amount of non-bicycle like conveyances. Another thing that was brought up with that, if we wanted to omit that portion and just have the initial one introduced, was the idea of like certain types of powered mobility aids. And so that would be like, hey, we could start with a potential resolution for powered mobility aids, and then it could be on the assembly's discretion whether or not they would like to
expand
that.
Yeah.
We do track how many people are denied rides for any reason. So like if there's too many wheelchairs on the bus and we have to leave a wheelchair, drivers are supposed to call that in and be like, I left this person at the bus stop because XYZ. So if they had a folding bike or something and they were not allowed on the bus with that, we should have record of them being left at the bus stop. It does not happen very often, people being left behind. But we do have that data, we can pull it and see.
Does it include the Y?
Yeah.
But I think that could be very helpful.
You're saying denied for any reason?
Yeah, anytime that the bus operator leaves somebody at the bus stop, they're supposed to call it into dispatch.
Mm-hmm. You mean like, you get off the bus, you're too intoxicated to be on this bus?
No, well, that too. But I mean, if somebody's standing at the bus stop and the bus pulls up and they do not let the person on the bus for any reason.
Mm-hmm. Like, and they have the reason and that they were...
But that's included.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was brought up with that with the previous director was the fact that especially with some bicycles, they were just leaving them at the stop and then getting on the bus anyway, so right. It wouldn't be included in those reports.
That, yeah, correct. That, oh. Yeah. If they just chained,
right. They just chained their bike up yeah. at the stop and then
yeah.
left,
mm-hmm.
and then figured they would get back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That is correct.
But that might be a fairly small
right.
mm-hmm. percentage of the total instances where mm-hmm. we're denying someone yeah. on the bus. So
one of the only ones that I knew about was a kid that I knew that had a little gas motor on his skateboard, and the bus driver just freaked because the gas was in this like plastic
right.
Tank that, and yeah. he didn't
so
want
that's a
gasoline all over his yeah. bus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yeah, it was pretty hinky, but there wasn't anything that was worth having a hissy fit about, but mm-hmm. yeah, yeah, you know, once again, it comes back to that each bus driver can make their own decision.
No, I right. think, I'm assuming that's on the prohibited list, gasoline.
No, it, I mean, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I, if I was a bus operator, I wouldn't allow it on my bus.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I guess.
Some bus drivers would let him have yeah. Others, you know, that one in particular didn't.
I mean, if we have the rider denied mm-hmm. data, then I would say, let's see what that tells us before we go looking for a problem that may or may not need a solution. I mean, I like the idea of saying these things are, yeah. especially the mobility, an electric mobility device. Like, I totally get that. That's mm-hmm. something we should be supporting, making sure that. I can't imagine that that's getting denied by a bus driver, though. Right?
Yeah.
Right? And
but there could be people that aren't trying because they're
because
afraid that
they're
be.
Afraid that it won't. And if we're reaching out and saying this is allowed, so please come on, ride the bus
yeah.
if you need this.
So it was a similar question with the scooters. There's a lot of people that probably will just avoid it because they aren't sure. And same thing when I ran the public comment as just a member of the public. Looking at other public transit departments, they are currently talking about the scooters, especially because they have like scooter rental that's available in their area. So
right.
I had just included it in my comment at the time because that is the current was the current discussion among other public transit departments.
Gotcha. How big of an ask is that, Bart?
It shouldn't be any, but it should be fine. Yeah, we should be able to bring it back next month.
Next month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, and Kyle, you had essentially written it up, like that work is done.
Mm-hmm.
So if we compare the data to what is written up,
yeah.
we can see what overlaps and any additional work that we might need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer your question, Peter, it is prohibited to carry any flammable or combustible liquids, explosives, acids, or any other item inherently
yeah.
dangerous or offense to others.
Yeah.
So probably no gas.
No gas.
Okay. Next up, if we are done with that part until December, is public comment. Welcome, members of the public. Do we have any written comment, Bart?
No written comment.
Okay. So if there is any member of the public who would like to speak, please state your name for the record, and you will have 2 minutes. I have a handy timer that will... let us know when our 2 minutes is up.
Hi, I'm Peter Richard. I ride the bus a lot. I'm very happy to see transit's going to be open again. I noticed that today they were working on it, so I'm really excited about that. I have one concern, is security. I've seen a lack of security roaming. They like to stay in the office, they disappear, they go very hands-on with people, you know, and I was very disappointed with Ally Security. And what they're doing. Was there going to be any structure or better security at the transit? Because I noticed they're not enforcing rules down there. People are just drinking, they're doing drugs, they're smoking at the bus stop. I went to go sit at the bus stop to get the bus at 40 to go out. There are people smoking, there says no smoking right there. I don't like being around smoke. And I just thought it was really unfair that, you know, I had to ingest cigarette smoke, you know, and they have no regard for
you know, rules or anything. So I was just kind of curious, you know, what was going to happen, because ally security sucks. That's just my opinion. I witnessed an assault down there on a female, and I was really disappointed that they put hands on this female. You know, that they're not police, you know, their security report, and, you know, is what they should be doing. So that's my opinion. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other member of the public who would like to make a comment? Yes, ma'am, if you could state your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
My name is Melody Russo. I wanted to compliment you, because last time I talked about connections or transfers, and it appears to me that they're stopping and kind of staying there and getting there more closely at the same time, so that that overlap works, at least downtown. That's place I really do it. So wanted to give you that positive feedback. I did notice that I've been confused, and I don't remember seeing it as part of the communication. The stuff with the 40, with the 40 and 65, and so there's a 40 and a 40 and 65 route, so you have to have two things on your app instead of just one. And I just don't really understand. I've kind of figured a little bit out by opening up the two, because one's blue now and one's red. And so, I mean, it looks like it's more advantageous for me than less. And so that's really all I care about. It's just that I didn't know there was anything going on in the 40 at all. And I saw it, so yesterday on the bus going home, it was just a really kind of unruly gentleman. He was misbehaving, and his conflict, well, besides not listening to the driver and obeying her, other passengers were giving him a hard time, so that got a little bit more verbally combative. Being on the bus, I was really more watching for, because I work for ACOSH, watching for any problem for the driver, because that's her workplace. He never really appeared to threaten her, but he definitely didn't obey her. And then I was looking, I'm like, okay, I remember there's this texting thing, because I didn't know if she would be calling to see if a security guy would come to a stop and get on. I was sort of expecting that, but that didn't happen. She finally got him off. Is to have the number of the bus. I know it's printed little, but where I sit, I can't read the number of the bus, and have it up in front so that you can, you know, you can save the text number. The text numbers are bigger numbers on the sticker than the bus number is. Yeah. So, you know, you can call and say, hey, you know, it would be really nice if the security guy would be at the next stop and I'm on this bus. It's unruly. So.
Thank you.
What is ACOT? You said you work for ACOT?
So OSHA is, heard of OSHA.
Right.
Occupational Safety and Health. So we regulate workplaces, usually come down on employers for not doing something or other. So they're the ones who really
So this is the patron comment part. If we could save that for after the meeting, because I want to make sure that other members of the public have an opportunity to make a public comment.
My name is Phil, and I'd like to make a comment.
Certainly.
About driver discretion. We were talking about certain things with bikes. I see a lot of uncertainty when it comes to service animals. And somebody will come in with a real scruffy dog that hasn't had a bath and has fleas, and they'll say, this is my service dog. And the driver will say, well, that doesn't look like a service dog to me. And then there's this ongoing debate, what makes a service dog? Now, according to the rule book, you can have a Shetland pony on people Uber bus. Have you ever heard that? It's legal. But some drivers might not want a Shetland pony on their bus. Do they have discretion? So I guess I'm just throwing that at you for maybe some more comments.
No, I don't know. Bart, do you?
If it's a service animal, we have to accept it.
But does it have to say wear a vest, or do you just say it's my service animal?
No, there's two questions that the driver can ask. Is this a service animal, and what service is it providing? And then if they can answer those questions, we let them on. And then there are rules. The animal does have to be under the control of the owner. So if an animal gets on and it's clearly, you know, not a service animal, it's running around, it's not listening, the driver can kick them off. But for the most part, we take the word of the passenger until we have reason not to.
And technically, it has to be a dog or a pony. They don't have service crocodiles or anything else like that.
I believe it's a miniature pony.
Miniature pony.
Yes.
A little tiny scoot pony.
Yeah.
But yes.
We have not had one of those on the bus yet.
Yeah. But yes.
A driver told me that dogs could come on in a crate.
That I don't know.
Okay.
I've seen it.
That was the case before.
I've seen people come on the bus with crates and dogs, and it's been fine. It's at the driver's discretion, I think, of if, you know, what he thinks. It's like you're talking about the discretion of a scooter, you know, it's in the discretion of the driver, I think.
Sandra knows behind you.
It's got to be in a six-sided container.
There you go.
Any animal that comes on, people mover or anchor rides, that's not a service animal, has to be in a six-sided closed container.
There you go.
Well, good to know. I learned something.
See, as an acting director, you don't have to know anything. You just have to hire a director.
Are there any other members of the public who would like to make a comment?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Sorry about it. That was incorrect. He said they're going to pick me up about 7 o'clock.
All right.
And, a couple of requests. I live in Moldoon area. And I appreciate that you moved to downtown, because tonight I had to call Anchorite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Route 31, from Moldoon to Walmart, if a possible make a stop, because you already had one stop one side. The more community, long walk for me from Flatmire to, from Walmart to Flatmire and then the bank. The stop sign already there, say one side, but not the other side.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The second one, also 31. The winter route, Turpin, no stop here. I live right here. I usually get off on the top, on the hillside, Edward, you know what I'm saying? Edward is 6th. Now the Turpin, they won't make a stop, so I have to walk all the way from Tibet to in my residence.
Oh, wow.
It's a little bit difficult for me.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And they don't plow that.
And also, before you change the route, the number 8 was stops at between 8 and 9. If you put them back somewhere around the hour, it would be really appreciated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But something else, I'd like to show my appreciation. Okay, that's what I made. Okay, when I made all different designs. Okay, design.
Great.
here's what
thank
I come,
you.
Right here. Yeah, that's right. To thank right. You. You come for the people,
yeah.
You will be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have 4 foot. No, this one I have 10 and 11. I want to give one to Pan, one to Jackie. One to Ali, one to Noel, because they are very, very nice at professionally. Okay, I have 2 for
are
the
these drivers you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then more, another one used to work on a slope security guy. Now he's driving out on the rail, and very, very good. I want you to give one to him. Also give one to the driver of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 2 to the anchor right, 2 to the
just so you know, the 2 minutes are up, but okay. We do well, clean up the room at the end, and we'll still be here.
I'm done.
Okay,
I'm done. But right now I'm gonna put a new different character. Everyone a little bit different design. You could look at it whenever you wanna. This one,
okay.
Tomorrow will be better day.
Oh, okay. Lovely. I'm going to open up the floor for additional public comment if there are any other members of the public who wish to speak. Okay. Hearing none, I will move on to member comments. We technically have 5 minutes, so we will start at CB's end of the table.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank the public.
Which means that people helping each other.
I have people helping me. I appreciate everything. Yes, that was amazing. I appreciate the board for showing up. I'm thankful that it's coming back downtown. I don't foresee that conflict happening, so now it will happen.
Every day it happens.
And I wanted to mention, I also think the overlap has improved on.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if you did it, but it's also improved.
So. Well, I appreciate the interest that you guys took.
Thank you.
My comment about.
And then the one thing with that woman that showed up three times, I mean, is there a way we can write something down for her or something? Because if we just say it's against the law, she might understand.
We're going to do a resolution next time.
I'm going to have some report on that next time.
So she shows up again, how are we going to communicate it to her? I guess we can hand her the resolution.
Okay.
Thank you.
Security, as driver, and then driver.
Yeah, want to apologize again for not being here last week.
I'm sorry, Peter, 1 second. I'm sorry. Thank you. Go ahead, Peter.
Thank you. I want to apologize again for not being here last time. Sick. I'm glad to be here now, and I really appreciate everybody, because it's like, you know, somebody reaches out, like the lady, and everybody puts their minds together and tries to come up with something to fix the problems, and I find that just really very cool and kind of amazing, and I really appreciate it, and that's why I think this is such a cool group of people and such a great project that we're working on. So thank all of you for being here and being who you are.
Thanks, Peter. Kyle?
Yeah, it's been really invigorating as we've gone back to in-person. We've gotten a bunch of great public feedback. It seems like we're doing great work, and it sounds like it's going to be a real exciting year ahead for us, both for the work that we're going to be doing in conjunction with the transit department on the people on the move plan and all that good stuff, as well as a lot of big things happening with public transit. So it's a wonderful time to be on the board. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I will also echo some of Kyle's comments about just like over the last couple of years I've been on the board, it's been cool to start to see like lots of motion happening and things like starting to pick up, like moving back into the transit center downtown, having this dashboard pop up, all of the different data and like the snowplow map, having all of that accessible. I think it may have existed in some form prior to this, but now it's all being compiled and like there's a lot more awareness. It's really cool to see. So yeah, very thankful for all of the improvement that I've gotten to see over the last few years.
Thanks. Yeah, apologies that I did not have a report and I apparently missed an email. Thank you for your patience. I have been what I refer to as a grief potato, so grief is terrible. I don't advise it. So thank you for your patience while I kind of sort through this. But next month, I am really excited about what we've got on deck. This was a really great discussion tonight. I want to thank the public for taking the time to come to these meetings. I know sometimes it can be difficult to get here. Reminder that next month we are still here, and then in January we will move to City Hall. I'm excited to see, a bigger room for starters, and we'll see where we go from there with our various ideas and projects. So, thank you.
Yeah, I'll echo everyone else. I'm super thankful that the public comes. Like, it's great to see and get your feedback and your input to help us do a better job in this. So that's really exciting to me, and all the things that People Mover has done as far as getting us data, tweaking stuff, making it accessible, is just that part's phenomenal. I really appreciate that. So I will leave it there since we're burning time.
I don't have anything to add, except I remember that the assembly has a three-person transportation committee, we've never had any engagement with them. So I'm going to brainstorm about, like, try to get them involved because, I was trying to reach out. I think I sent one email to them several months ago and heard nothing back from any of the three of them. So, and one of them, I think, is a former PTAB member. So we'll have to get on this. I think they should be more engaged, you know, the assembly generally. So.
Yeah, I got to attend the last transportation meeting, which there was a bunch of great stuff regarding public transit. And so it'd be great to have more back and forth, but at the very least, like,
They do have meetings.
So. Yes, okay. Quarterly. We have opportunity to.
Okay.
All right. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
Nope, somebody has to move first. Okay, so Mike moved, Kyle seconded. Any objection to adjourning? We are adjourned at 7:01.
Nice work.
I said,